All right, let's learn Rabbi Say, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky's Torah on this week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma. We have a good piece in store. Ketzad Mevarchen. V'yasisas ha-kurashim l'mishkan atzei shitim aimdim. The kurashim were the beams that were the walls of the Mishkan. And the Torah says that they have to be atzei shitim aimdim. They have to be standing wood of a tree called shitim. Anyone know what shitim is? What kind of...
Acacia.
What?
Acacia.
Acacia. Excellent. So the Amr B'Medrash, the Medrash says, "Limeid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Derech Eretz L'Dairis." With this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches a lesson of morality, a lesson of midas of Derech Eretz for all generations. What do we learn from this pasuk? Shem Yivakesh Adam Livnais Beis Amei Ilan Eisa Peiros. If let's say a person wants to build his house from a tree that is a fruit-bearing tree. Let's say you want to make your house out of apple tree or out of an orange tree. Aymer loy, umam melech malchei amlochem shakol shakadosh baruch hu owns everything. Ukisha amar lasis mishkan, when he told us to build a mishkan, amar loy tavi alame ilan she'enai seperis, this acacia wood is not, there's no fruits that grow on that tree. It's just a plain tree without any fruits. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have asked for a pineapple bush or an orange tree, a pomegranate tree. He could have asked for anything. But he specifically told us to build his house out of something which cannot bear fruits, does not bear fruits. Atamalachas kamam kamam. So you certainly should follow suit. Don't waste good trees on things that you don't have to.
I think someone built the Beit HaMikdash with some olive trees.
Is that true? I don't know. V'yesh kan hayda'a hayra'a nitzchis. Gam kishata reitz livnais mishkan l'shchinim l'kedusha l'skadesh u'l'sa'alais alecha lirais v'livchen sh'yelcha sh'loyea zeh techgrimas nezek chalila. So here's the takeaway that we're going to be spending some time this evening discussing, and that is that sometimes when a person has really good intentions, very often they trample on good things to get there. As they think that the end justifies the means. As long as I am doing something that's a mitzvah, something that's a good thing, so then regardless of what it takes to get there, it doesn't matter because I'm going to get there. And this is the right thing to do. I'm going to get there. What we learn from this medrash is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "You see from me that you have to take into account everything along the way as well. Don't think, well, you're building a Beis HaMikdash, therefore you can knock down some fruit trees and it's okay because at the end of the day, the Shekhinah is going to be shayer in this house. No, every single thing has to be taken into account. And by causing damage, collateral damage along the way, don't think that that's understandable and excusable because it's not." He says, Moshe Rabbeinu zocha l'machze hasnet. He saw the snem Moshe Rabbeinu did. Hutzalay liyas ga'elam sheyisrael man chalat ha'era. Eza es alas l'rum ha'maylo. Avol mi'ezal yedei pegiya akif of ma'amadu shal aron sheyis nabi b'mitzrayim. Im mi'apil olav yishimu b'tzel azai shlach nabi atishlach. Meaning, think about what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw a burning bush. The bush was not being consumed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, "You're the man. You're the one that's going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael." Okay, so if I was Moshe Rabbeinu, I'd say, "Fine, that's it. God says I'm supposed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. Let's do this." Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say that. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He says, "No." He says, "Shlach na biyat tishlach, send Aaron. Aaron is better. He's my older brother. I don't want him to feel bad. He is a better speaker than I am. He's more worthy than I am." What's going on? What's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Moshe Rabbeinu got a tzivoy from Hashem that he should go on the mission. If Aaron was supposed to go on the mission, the Rebbe Hashem would have gone to Aaron. What's Moshe Rabbeinu playing? The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us a lesson that it's not kedai. Even if you're doing something tremendous, I'm going to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, but if you're going to be mazik somebody else along the way, my brother Aaron is going to feel bad because he's my older brother, and now because I get the fame and the celebrity, he's going to maybe be slighted. It's not kedai for me to take the leadership position if Aaron, my brother, is going to feel bad about it. The Seirev, and he refused, Ad Sheftich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sharon Yismach B'dulas HaVeneis. Only once HaKadosh Baruch Hu convinces Moshe Rabbeinu that Aaron will be very happy if you become the leader. He's not going to feel bad. He's not going to be slighted. He's not going to have any tainus. Only then was Moshe Rabbeinu in agreement to do this, to take the leadership role. It's an amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, the ends justify the means. So what if Aaron gets trampled on along the way? I'm supposed to be the king. I'm supposed to be the melech. I'm supposed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. I was designated to do this by the Rabbeinu Shem. So I have to worry of what might happen along the way, that Aaron might feel a little bad. Yeah. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu was sensitive to Aaron, even though that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself that was commanding us to do it. Now, I'm going to skip the next paragraph, two paragraphs, because it's a funny type of story. If you want to look at it, you're welcome to look at it, but I'm not, I don't love it, so we're gonna skip it. B'shaitai nasasi devarim b'kinas tairani. Now everyone's looking at it, right? Nasasi devarim b'kinas tairani b'shtatvas hagayner v'vadi yosef shlita. I once was asked to speak at a big Torah convention, and Rav Avadia Yosef was on the dais with me. See, Parati Shaman, when I had my chance to speak, says Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, I said, Shachavitz Chaim Zatzal Nosel Irechaika, the Chavitz Chaim once traveled to a far off land, Lishtate Besimchas and Asun Shalachim Talmidov, the Yeshivas Radin. One of his Talmidim from Radin Yeshiva was getting married, so the Chavetz Chaim went to participate in the Simcha. Kiminigaisim hayamim, as was customary in those times, loy nachaygu hanesuin beulam smachas. They didn't have a chasna hall. They didn't have an Eden Palace or a New York Hilton or something to make the chasna in. So what did they do? Where did they make Simchas? It was like a var, like what we call a var today in the Kala's house. That was a wedding. That was the way. They didn't have fancy halls and flowers and bands or whatever. They made a simple chasna in a person's house in their backyard. That was it. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to go back to that, because it's such a waste of good money to spend it on one night. I was once sitting at a chasna, a very spitzy chasna, and I was sitting next to, it was like a doctor from Great Neck, and I said, you know, Baruch Hashem, beautiful simcha, you know, such a nice hall. He says, yeah, he made his daughter's chasna there the week before. That was what the doctor said. So I said, that's so nice. He said, yeah. He says, the only way that I could explain what I did was I bought a $200,000 sports car, I drove it around for 4 hours, and then I kicked it off a cliff. That's basically what I, that was basically the only way I could be magdir to explain what I did. It's crazy. 4 hours, $200,000, $50,000 an hour, I don't know, $1,000 a second maybe or something, I don't know, a minute. It's a lot of money. It's crazy. It's like every single person, look at it this way. These halls, like the fancy halls, are about at least $200 a person. At least. So imagine, and there's like, you know, close to 1,000 people by a lot of these weddings. Imagine every single person coming into the wedding hall, you're giving $200 cash to. That's basically what you're doing. You know, at the end of the day, it's nuts. You got to be crazy. But people do this every night. People do it every night. And it's a terrible waste. That's why for a while the Gedalim were making, they tried, but it didn't really stick, unfortunately, because nobody, very few people were willing to do it, but they make takana chasnas. And it's the greatest thing in the world. If people would listen to Gedalim, then they'd be a lot happier and a lot smarter and a lot richer, because it's like takana chasnas, basically they limit, you can only have a one-man band, like one piano player, one keyboard player, and a singer, that's it. And then they limit, there's no flowers, it's only gemach flowers, there's no... $1,800 for flowers. Anyway, they set guidelines for how much. And I'll tell you, I've been to these chasnas. They're nicer than the fancy chasnas. Because you don't feel like the obscene waste of money. And just normal. It's just normal. Whenever I'm like, let's say, have a whole bunch of people in a car, and we're coming back from a very spitzy, I've been to like really crazy over-the-top weddings, like in Manhattan, like nuts, like literally million-dollar chasnas. And people come home and they, you know, they're just complaining the steak was too hard and this was too soft and the, you know, and the, this was burnt and I can't believe they paid the caterer. I hope they can still get their money back. Like, that's all they're talking about. If you go like to a regular Haimash chasna, you know, you get your sesame chicken, it's always perfect. You get the Coke is fine on the table with a lemon in it, and it's fine, it works. So, you know, they give you a nice dessert, and it's a nice Haimish meal. It's literally a tenth of the price, and they're just as married. But people are stupid. I mean, I guess, you know, I have to wait till after my kids get married to really to tell you, because a lot of times it's not the what? Chutanimar, who your wife is, who you are. But a lot of times it's the husband. The husband is fine with it, but somebody told me recently that, and this is a chiddush, because he said that he offered his kids were getting married, and he said, I will give you the money. I'll make a cheaper chasna, and I'll give you the money. You can take the $50,000, and it's yours to, I'll put it right into your savings bank, and we'll make a simpler chasna. They said, no. They want the wedding. They're crazy. I guess they thought they'd get $50,000 from them anyway, but it's such a way. Those flowers go in the garbage, and the food gets thrown out, and then nobody cares. Really, nobody cares. The only reason why I'm making a fancy chasna is because I was invited to my friends, you know, in the neighborhood's chasna. They made chasna, so I have to. It's ridiculous. It's a crazy cycle of insanity, but like it has to end. So they tried with these takana chasnas. Rabbi Sonnenschein, anyone by Rabbi Sonnenschein's wedding? So that was a takana chasna, technically. It was. I went to two weddings that night. One was in a very chashava country club. It was one of those, you know, $500,000 chasnas. Then I went straight from there to Rabbi Sonnenschein. I'll tell you, Rabbi Sonnenschein's chasna was much nicer. I told him. His chasna was much nicer than the other chasna. The other chasna at Shlemi, what's that guy? Simcha Liner. And a 15-piece orchestra, sushi, shmorgs, and whatever. And I came to Rabbi, and then I came to Rabbi Sonnenschein's chasna. It was a 1-piece band. It was like a DJ, but it was the music was rocking. It was great. It was pumped up. Guys were into it. And I didn't know the difference. It's just a ridiculous thing. These people that make, it's like you said, it's the mechutanim, or it's the wife, or it's the husband, somebody is crazy to spend such hard-earned money and to literally throw it away. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so the Chavetz Chaim went to this chasna for his Talmud, and it was in the home of the Kala's family. And the people that were invited to the mitzvah, they found a minyan of people, the chassan and the parents of the chassan and the parents of the kala b'chulei. B'cheder hamavu amad kitan tilsadam. Now in the ante room, like to get into the dining room, let's say there was a little sink, and lefnei shenatal yad, before he went to wash, the Chavetz Chaim went into the kitchen where the food was being made for this simcha, the suda. Everybody was waiting for the Chavetz Chaim to come out of the kitchen and to wash because of his honor. So they figured out, why is the Chavetz Chaim going to the kitchen? He probably wants to check out the kasher situation, wants to make sure, you know, that the meat is good and the you know, that all the things that he's makbid about is being kept. L'mahajinaisa. Yatsa umileas hasafo kadeshlisha. He came out, the Chavetz Chaim, he filled up the cup of the Netilas Yadayim cup up to a third with water. Natalat Pirkeats Ba'isam Rivias Mitsum. He used exactly Rivias. He went up to his fingers, to the end of his fingers, which is like the bare minimum that you're supposed to do. Tamahu achlay heyaz lahadriyesimayon. People were looking at that strange, but they didn't have the chutzpah to ask more than that. Kishiyashru lesuda, and when everybody sat down to eat, his kiruk of derech aga memrit of chista aninay to mayim alei chafnav umashpim alei shavatayim alei chafnayim. I wash my hands, my fistfuls, and I'm being mashpia, and on me I get a flow of goodness, malay chafnayim, full of fistfuls. So they mentioned that the Chavetz Chaim to try to get some explanation as to why he washed his hands so skimpily, like so shvach, like he's the Mishnah Berurah, he should have done it l'mahadrin. Nena Chavetz Chaim Amar, the Chavetz Chaim answered and he said, Kishenechnasti kaidim lamitbach, when I went into the kitchen, Kisvurim atim shenechnasti levarai desakash, you were probably thinking that I was going in there to check out the kashrus situation, but I wasn't. Tais b'yedchem, ha'oichel kan b'cheskut kashrus. I know that this family is very reliable. I didn't have any question about the kashrus. So why did I go into the kitchen? Nechnasti levarham yesh kan shoyev mayim shemali eslachavis. Who's filling up this pitcher? They didn't have sinks in the olden days that you turn on a faucet and the water just magically comes out. They'd have to go to a well. They'd have to fill up a bucket from the well and then schlep it to the person's kitchen and fill up the... That's how they did it. So I wanted to know who was the person that was filling up the bucket. There was a cleaning lady that was in charge of this. Vinezra Bivita. And she was helped by her daughter. And in the kitchen, I did a little bit more investigation. I found out that Haizeres Almano Uvita Yisaima. This Haizeres wasn't Stamina. Who's working in a person's kitchen? It was an Almana, a widow. Her daughter was a Yisaima. Vani Eini Chavitz Mle Chafnaim Taiva Al Cheshbon Almana Yisaima. I should start being very machmir and use a whole cup full of water. And then what does that mean? That means that the Alman and the Yisayim are going to have to go. If everybody's being so machmir and they're in the Tzadayim, you're being makel on their tsar. And so I was makel on the Tzadayim and being machmir on the tsar of being mitzar the Almana and the Yisayim. Zeo Musar says that's real Musar. That's what the Chavetz Chaim is teaching us. Again, what do we see? We see this principle of the Atzei Shittim from here. That a person thinks, well, I don't care. It's halacha is halacha. I gotta try to be machmir, and whoever I step on along the way, too bad. I have to worry every single thing I do that maybe an almani yisaima is going to have to fill up the pitcher and this and that. That's I'm doing a mitzvah. To heck with everybody else. Let me do my mitzvah, and that's it. The Chavetz Chaim shows us that's not true. Chavetz Chaim shows us that a mitzvah is only worthwhile if you're not trampling on somebody else's kavod, if you're not oppressing somebody in the process. And they ask Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once, what's your kavana when you wrap yourself in the talus? You're putting the talus over your head and you're wrapping yourself, are you like being mitzdarif, the Isis, you know, that Malchus Shamayim, the Priyas Ha'ilam were created with Isis, that's probably in the, you know, Marbach Anfei Sa'aretz. He says, no, that's not my kavani. So, was your kavana the tcheles is daim liyam, liyam? No, that wasn't my kavana either. So what's your kavana when you're wrapping yourself in your talus? He says, my kavana is one kavana. That as I'm flipping my talus behind my back, you know, over my shoulder, I shouldn't be hitting somebody else with my tzitzis in their eye. That's the sisay. That's what we're talking about. You're so frum with your tzitzis. In the meantime, you're being mazik somebody via daim. Somebody has to get hit in the face with your strings because you're like, you know, you're so spiritual that you throw it behind you like in such a cool way. That's what you saw Salanto is machadish in the world. He's machadish that your ben adam l'chaveira trumps your ben adam l'makim. If you're doing Bein Adam L'Makom, you're doing mitzvahs, but you're in the process walking on your friend to get there, or you're trampling on your friend to get there, that's not a mitzvah. That's not what the Rebbein Hashem wants. The Rebbein Hashem doesn't want you to build a mishkan if you're going to ruin a fruit tree along the way. What do you mean? It's the mikdash. Yeah, but the ends don't justify the means. You have the ends, you have the means, they both have to be justified. The Rebbein Hashem doesn't want you to think that you're allowed to do anything in the name of religion. You know, the Catholic Church, in the name of religion, they killed millions and millions of people. Whatever, everything was in the name. And if you go to Iran and Iraq, they both believe that they're doing what the Rabbi Hashem wants. They're killing, you know, for 100 years they've been killing each other. The Iran, the Iraq, the Sunni, the Shiites, whatever. They're all in the name of religion. There are billions of people that have died over the last century in the name of religion. It's not what God wants. God doesn't want you killing people in order to please Him. He wants you to do everything the right way. So this is what Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky said by this convention, and Rabbi Avadya Yosef, who we said before, was sitting next to him on the dais. So Nana Agan Rabbi Avadya Yosef Shlita V'Amar, Lekam Midalei Remiza B'Raisa, I could find a makar for what you just said, for B'Shem L'Chavetz Chaim, in the Torah. Where do you find it in the Torah? B'Gemara Bav Metzia Pei Vavam Abeiz, Muskaris, is mentioned Tfiel Avram Avinu L'Vasham. Beautiful raya that Avadya Yosef brought. He says there is a taina on Avram Avinu, madua hevi l'archa maima de shliach. Avram Avinu did certain things for the malachim himself, and some things he assigned a messenger to do it, a shliach to do it. What did he do himself? He made the basar himself, and he. And what else did he do? He made the lechem himself. When it came to the water, he appointed somebody to do that for him. It says, "Yukach na ma'ayim, take a little bit of water." V'lochein gam v'midbar sibek hadash baruch hu ma'ayim l'deisho. That's why in the midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gave ma'ayim through a shliach. Ma'ayish Rabbeinu l'vashalem, v'ayidei kach nispa. Okay, but in any event, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that gave Mayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't send it directly, as opposed to, let's say, the bread. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the man himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the slav himself. But the one thing he didn't was he sent Moshe Rabbeinu to bring the water to Klal Yisrael, because Avram Avinu did not do it himself. So there's a tiny Avram Avinu why he didn't do it himself, that mitzvah. Yesh Lavin. Why wasn't there even a greater tviya? Asked Rabbi Avadya Yosef. Shari soif kol soif. Ein havdu ma'im meviim ba'atma lidei shliach. Avo kisharotza la'bakar nasan l'chal echav echad lashen shlema b'chardo b'chazu tayves ayin. He gave very generously. He basically wanted to give a delicacy to these three archim. What was the delicacy? He gave tongue. Only one problem with tongue. You only can get one tongue with every animal. You have to basically shechta. If you want to get, it's not like pastrami or corned beef, there you get like probably the whole animal. You can get half an animal for that. But when it comes to tongue, there's only one tongue in every animal. So he wanted to give each of the guests their own tongue with mustard and probably a piece of kishka on the side. So he basically had to shecht three separate animals. So he was very generous when it came to the animals. However, a tremendous amount. Shalish saw in three saw. How much is a saw? Saw is 144 eggs. Can you imagine? That's a very big amount of bread. That's like a whole, I don't know, that's one of those big, you know, Rebbe Shechalas. It's a big Hasidic Shechal that he gave to each of these guests. He's so generous when it came to that. V'lashir ha-katan hu yais mishmane kilogram. V'rak b'mayim amar yukach na ma'at mayim. He said, just take a little bit of water. What's Pshat, take a little bit of water? All of a sudden, he wasn't so generous. And it should have been that Klal Yisrael Midah K'neged Midah got a little bit of water in the midbar. We didn't find that. V'yonush haninu shaber savas kal machan Yisrael. Anyway, so they had plenty of water. What's going on here? Why did Avraham Avinu become so miserly, if you will, when it came to the water? He was very generous with a tongue, very generous with the bread. When it came to water, it's like, where's the water? What happened to the water? How come everything else was huge and the water is giving like little, little shots of water, like little nothing bottles of water? What's going on? Umadua mishum sha'amar yukach na yidei shliach. You know why? Says Rav Avadya Yosef, because since, for whatever his cheshbon was, but he gave water through a shliach. He didn't do it himself. The other thing's in himself. Water he gave through a shliach. The kivan shekach, ein lay latriach alav. Because he's making a shliach. We don't know why he made a shliach, for whatever reason. But lemaisa he made a shliach. If he's making a shliach, he didn't want to impose upon the shliach to bring a huge amount of water, because similar to the Chavetz Chaim, he didn't want to wash his hands with too much water, which would encumber the almana, the assignment to do it. He didn't want to make the person that was the shamish that was going to get the water do too much. Shein lases chesed al cheshbon azuz, because you can't do chesed on somebody else's cheshbon. You want to do from your own, give. You want to be a tzaddik, fine. But then you could give. But if you're going to be a tzaddik, don't be a tzaddik in somebody else's cheshbon. Don't make somebody else go through a lot of tircha because you want to be a tzaddik. You want to do it yourself, you want to roll up your sleeves and do the mitzvah yourself, fine. But don't put it on somebody else. A lot of times that happens in life. Like people, they call you up, they want you to do a tremendous, it's easy. They make a phone call and they throw the responsibility on you. Don't be a tzaddik on my cheshbon. You want to do it yourself. Don't thrust it upon me. So that's a beautiful raya that Rav Avadia Yosef brings to this yisaid. V'sipele Avrich, a married kail guy, told me once, Shebachrusai Yashem Bechadrai Shalagain HaTzadik Rav Yehuda Segel in Manchester. The Manchester Shiva Rav Segel, he had when he was older, he had a bacher that would serve him, and he would sleep together in the same room. V'sam lev shem mechin seif amayim bekara. He put prepared in the morning like a nagelwasser dish, ach manich mechutz l'cheder. But he didn't keep it like by his bed that a lot of people keep their nagelwasser things there. He put it outside the room. In the morning, he would get up, go out of the room, and wash. So he says, "Any idea? I don't know if it was more than arba amos he was walking. Sheikh Mir Bezayakai Shakab, the Zayir doesn't like when people walk more than dalan amos without washing. Negel vasev esamech adivei Rashba. Maybe he's probably being samech on the Rashba to call it by his arba amos. The whole house is considered arba amos." But there is an inyan, don't put your feet on the ground without washing your hands. So what's Pshat the Manchester Tzaddik? Why would he not do that? They asked him this question, but Tamil Shelly couldn't understand the question. Because I'm getting up before you awaken. You're still sleeping when I get up. And the sound of the washing, when I'm washing my hands, what's it going to do? It's going to wake you up. So the splash of the nagel vasa is going to wake you up. Ein shas t'chak g'dayla mizu. And there's no greater shas hadchak. Uve shas hadchak hitiru. And so there is exceptional cases. Of shas hadchak, you don't have to wash right by your bed. This is a shas, what's a shas hadchak? I don't want to wake you. Again, you have to, this is Musar. Musar means to have sensitivity to another person, even when you think you're doing the frum thing. So sometimes, again, this is a very difficult thing, but sometimes a person wants to wake up very early in the morning to learn. Sometimes a person wants to learn very late at night and come into the room and his roommate's already sleeping. You have to mamish be careful to tiptoe. If you're going to do that, you have to mamish, don't wash nagel vasa by your bed and take off your shoes before you come into the room. And when you don't come into the room and open up the lights, don't turn on the radio, don't listen to your whatever. You can't do that. But I'm a tzaddik. I learned until 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm a big tzaddik. Yeah, but you're not a tzaddik if that. It's all sort of like a wash. If you're gonna disturb and have gnevas shina, gezel shina, from your roommate or from your family members or whatever, because you're coming in so late. You have to be careful with these things. These are cheshbonos that have to be made in the process, and you have to figure out exactly how to do it. But the litmus test is, are you hurting somebody by doing your mitzvah? Are there people that are being trampled on as a result of you running to do your mitzvah? And if there are, then you got to really question whether it's kedai to do the mitzvah, whether Rebbeinu Shlomo is getting nachas ruach from that mitzvah or not. Remember, there's a maisa. I don't remember all the players in the maisa. But the Maisa goes something like this, that there was a Hasidish Rebbe, I think it was Reb Shmuelka Minickelsburg, but I'm not sure, a big Hasidish Rebbe, and he said that I have the ability to bring Mashiach. If I want, what? Reb Simcha Bunim? And who was the other Rebbe that he didn't want to...
The after of
was the one that will be sitting next to Mashiach? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Reb Simcha Bunim Shischa, what would I do with that mayor? I'd probably sound like I knew what I was talking about. Reb Simcha Bunim Shischa was one saying that I could bring Mashiach if I want. I have the power personally to bring Mashiach right now. So the Hasidim said, no, so why don't you? Who's stopping you? He said, I'll tell you why. He says, because what's going to happen? He says, Mashiach is going to come, and they're going to make a big suda for him. Make a big, a big Kabbalah's panim. And the Abter Rav is going to be sitting right next to Mashiach, because he's the Gadol Hadar, and all the big rabbis are going to be sitting there. And I, say Reb Simcha Bunim, I'm not going to have the chutzpah to sit up there. I'm going to stand all the way in the back of the room. I'm not going to go push myself up. He says, okay, so it sounds good. So what's wrong with the picture? He says, because what's going to happen is that Mashiach is going to say, the Abter Rav is going to say to Mashiach, what took you so long? And what brought you here now? So he says, it wasn't the right time. He says, but what brought me here now was that yid in the back of the room, Simcha Bunim Ibshischa. He's the one that brought me here. He was the one that was the catalyst to get me here. And at that point, the Abter Rav would feel bad. That yid got you here. I didn't. I thought I was a Tzaddik Adar. He got you here, not me. He says, to cause the Abter Rav that little bit of tzar, it's not kedai to bring Mashiach. It's not kedai to bring Mashiach, to bring the Geula, if it's going to hurt a single yid, if a single yid's covet is going to be nifkam a little bit, then the whole Mashiach isn't kedai. And that's why I don't bring Mashiach. That's godless. That's real Musar. Musar means that it's not just about me rushing to do a mitzvah, it's me running to do a mitzvah and being very careful that along the way I'm hurting nobody. And if while I'm doing the mitzvah I'm hurting people, I'm insulting people, I'm causing people to be awoken, I'm causing people to have to be in position in any which way, then you have to rethink the mitzvah. You have to rethink whether or not the mitzvah is an appropriate thing to do. It might be that you think you're a tzaddik by doing it, but that's the Yetzer Hara's ploy to get you to do something that's the opposite of tzidkus. And that's what Yaakov Galinsky is teaching us from the parasha, Atzei Shitim Aimdim, that it's you're making a beautiful mishkan. Be careful, don't make it out of a fruit tree. What do you mean, what's wrong? Because you're making a mishkan. Yeah, I know, but that doesn't justify knocking down a fruit tree. It doesn't justify hurting somebody. It doesn't justify, nothing is justified. The ends absolutely do not justify. If anyone says the ends justify the means, tell them that they don't know what they're talking about. The Rabbi Nishlam, that's how a crass person thinks. I'm getting to where I need to, and I'll step on anybody that I can that needs to be stepped on. As long as I get to the top, as long as I'm able to accomplish it, it's kedai. It's not kedai. The whole thing is not kedai. It's better to not bring Mashiach, not have a Mishkan, not have Moshe Rabbeinu, nothing. If a single yid is going to be nifkam as a result of it, the whole thing is not kedai. And that's a very, very big rule of thumb that we should take with us for the rest of our life.